TheYeshiva.net.
Okay, in the Kuntres, we began a few classes on the Maimer of Basi Legane Tavshin Chavdalad. Maimer of the Rebbe, of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, said Mitzoy Shabbos B'Shalach Yud Aleph Shva Tavshin Chavdalad, 1964. We're up to page Chav Beis in this Kuntres. The Sif is Sif He, Perik He, Yuhine Nizbar Lael. Class is dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Rivki Vershashansky, Laila Nishmas, in loving memory of Reb Zalman Yehuda, Ben Reb Shalom Yeshaya Deitch, Zichreina Levracha. Thank you very, very much for your partnership and friendship. And of course, dedicated to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael and the whole world, especially all those in captivity and all of the soldiers on the front lines. Hashem Yishmur Tseisam Avoya Me'atav Adaylam. Amen. Okay, so now we continue. Sifhe. Vihine nizboyer la'el. We explained earlier, sham shocha lamata mata. Kailelas gamha in yanam shem lamata mea klippis. Dahinu misha oivet al ratzen abayda. It's a very organized structure here. So we explained that when it says in the Zohar, the famous expression that oidin soif extends lamata mata adin tachlis. Your favorite line. Odin Seif extends lamata mata, below, until ein tachlis. That itself includes many different dimensions, many different aspects. The first is that the Odin Seif is present even in the lowest world, which we call Olam Ha'asiya. This world, the physical, material world. And that means not just that Hashem is everywhere. That's not the chiddush of Eirin Sof L'mata Adin Tachlis. That could say, Eir is Ein Sof. The chiddush is, as we explained in the earlier shiurim, that it's manifested within the definition, within the geder, within the identity of Olam Ha'asiya. And that's what he explained at length, the concept of Va'ata Mechaya Eskulam, which we discussed in the last two classes. Va'ata Mechaya Eskulam. That the chayas, the chiyus, the identity, the differentiation, the character of every single nivra is essentially an expression of Eir Ein Sof. The way it's expressed through Osius, Aleph, Tav, Hey, Aleph through Tav, and the Hey, the five, which are the five sources of all vocalization, known as Hey Mitzayi Sapa. So the Tva'ata is Mechaya Eskulam. So the individuation of every nivra is a manifestation of Eir Ein Sof. That's the Pshat L'mata Adin Tachlis. It's connected to the geder, to the definition, to the differentiation, to the structure, to the chemistry, to the unique identity of every single nivra, not just in the higher worlds, in the lowest worlds as well. And that's what it says, Va'ata Mechaya Eskulam. The chiyus, the life force, the functionality of every single nivra is not just a demonstration of the Boda, of the Creator, but a manifestation of the Creator. First of all, it's a demonstration, because you could see the imprint of the designer everywhere you go, and in every single detail, and in every nuance. There's nothing you look at, even in this physical world, that doesn't have the imprint of the designer, the infinite designer, the intelligent designer, the conscious, the deliberate designer, literally in every nekuda, unless somebody dafka wants to be stubborn and deny it, which needs a lot of emunah, as I said, needs a lot of faith. From there, you can also come to the va'ata mahava eskula, to the idea, to the truth, that the ishavus itself, the creation itself, me'ayin liyesh, didn't happen on its own, but rather, ein hayesh oises atzma, it was created. So it points to the fact that there's a designer. But not only that, the design itself is a manifestation of the designer. Va'ata mechaya eskul. So the Eir Ein Sof is lamata adin tachlis, means that the world in all of its details bespeaks it, manifests it, embodies it. It's a derivative, it's a manifestation of the Ein Sof. That's one nekud in lamata adin tachlis. But then he said, what about klippa? You have Olam Haza, fine. It's a beautiful world, an amazing world. Va'ata mechaya eskul, lamata asisas ha-shamayim, shmei ha-shamayim, ha-aretz, ha-chalach, kol asher alah, ha-yamim. Like we say right before, va'ata mechaya eskul. We say it every morning in davening by Vayivarech David. From the psukim, it's all from Nehemiah. in the Sefer Nehemiah, Ezra Nehemiah, over there you have all these psukim. So he says, well, it goes a step further. And that is, even Lamata Adin Tachlis, when you talk about klippa means shells and husks, that their function is to eclipse, to cover up. Their function is the opposite. Their function is not just a neutral, beautiful world, but their function is, it's called klippa. So you could think over there, it's not Adin Sef Lamata Adin Tachlis. So he said that too. And when you talk about that, you're not only talking about klippa that's a protector for the pri. Klippa is a shame of the pri. So it's protecting the fruit. It's not the fruit, but it's protecting it. It's a banana peel is there for the banana. It's also a klippa. It's covering the banana, but it's there for the banana. But even a klippa that says, I am the banana. There's no banana. I am the banana. Like the Zohar gives the famous mashal, right? The mashal of the Zohar. The harlot, the promiscuous woman who was hired by the king to entice the prince in order to flex his muscles, to bring out his character, to be able to make him ready for the position. He needs to really be a man, so to speak, a man who can withstand temptation and challenge. So it looks like she's an enemy of the king. Really, she's serving a purpose. She's not deviating from the purpose. She's as loyal to the king as his closest minister, even though she can't say it. It's a secret. The Grosse Klippa is Nishtas HaKlippa, if you know what it's really about. The only one who thinks she's serious is the prince. Nobody else does. And the moment he withstands it, she can reveal her true colors and say, oh, So on this Nekuda, he brought the whole union of Atam Chayes Kulam. Kulam means everything, not only Rubik Kula. And the Gemara that says Hashem is Zonim of Finest, Mikanir Damon Vatkene Beitzen, right, from the horns of the wild, greatest wild ox till the eggs of the lice, which not only means physically from the greatest to the smallest, but also spiritually. Even that small in the sense that godliness is small there, it's not revealed there, it's not manifested at all. That's called Beitzei Kinim, and explained at length what Kinim is, right? Kinui and the concept of Elikim and Kufchav. Kinim is Megamatria Kufchav, to 120 configurations of Elikim, and the Maharik, who says what a Kinui is when it comes to a get. Negachma Avachme, as the Gemara says, Einoid Mulvadi Afiluk Shafim. So that brings out, that's also Vatim Chayaskul. So now he goes to the next step. That this Eirin Sof Lamata Adin Tachlis goes even in Yonam Shem Lamata Maklippus. That which is lower than Klippus. What could be lower than Klippus? The only one that could be lower than Klippus is the one that's most similar to Hashem. Everything else is part of a system. It's part of a program. It doesn't deviate from the program. It follows the code. It follows the code. Just like the lion follows his code and the cat follows its code. The tiger and the salmon follow their code. And every tree follows its code. Nobody deviates. And even the deviation, if they do, it's part of the code. Right? Kansarech lifkos. Now you have to deviate. Now that's also part of the code. That's also part of the program. The only one, the Rambam says this in Hilchas Tshuva, who has the freedom to really deviate from the code is the one who reflects the Creator. So it's like the Creator, so to speak, up there, and the Creator down here, those are the two that can rewrite the code, can rewrite the program. That's the Koyach HaAdam, that's the Koyach of a person. And that's that. In that sense, even Klippa, right, is following the program. The human being, that's what he's saying, that's already Lamata. The human being can choose to actually deviate from the plan, deviate. And I should just add, this means that Bechira is always commensurate with how much awareness you have. In other words, it's true in the positive, it's true in the negative. It's important to emphasize this because people feel so much guilty. Somebody who certain things happen to them and their brain gets rewired, they have very, very little bchira. They may have bchira whether to eat an orange or an apple. That's where their bchira. And even that, they probably don't have bchira. Because sometimes when a person becomes reprogrammed and I'm literally like a squirrel. I'm responding to things. I'm not choosing things. And it's important to understand that because this is a condition that a person has. And then they blame themselves for all of their choices. Most of their choices were sometimes so compulsive, so instinctive, because to have bchira, you have to feel like a person. Ani amarti elikimatem, ani amarti elikimatem, uvnei elyon kulchem. If you're elikimatem, psta mensch. You have a tsuras Adam. Adam is Adam la elyon. Adam is Adama, earth. But the Shalosh says, Rabbi Yisharowitz says, Adam is Adam la elyon. Adam from the word doim. You're a reflection of heaven. If you're a reflection of the program designer, yeah, now you can write some new code. If not, what's the demean a squirrel? Mamish like a squirrel. The squirrel is trying to survive. I'm just trying to survive. You put a rat in a cage, right? And it's lonely. Okay, and there's two, they did these experiments. There's two containers, right? One container has water, and the other one has water with cocaine inside. So the rat goes to the second one. Why? Because the rat is looking for some stimulation. The point is that when a person is so limited and defined by their limitations, very often, much of their decisions are simply compulsive as a way to survive. The more a person learns about their power and their dignity, the more they learn that they are not their illness, they are not their anger, they are not their pain, they're observing it, the more bchira you have. It's important to understand. Viktor Frankl, who was a very famous Jew, an Auschwitz survivor, I think once said something of the nature that between stimuli and reaction, there is a moment of pause. There's a millisecond of a break. And in that millisecond, that's where all human freedom lives. Meaning between stimuli, something comes my way, right? Something comes into my system. You said something to me. And I react. I react emotionally. I react verbally. Between the stimuli, the coming in and the going out, there's a millisecond, mashua verega. Says that's where all bchira lives. Can you hold on to that pause? Can you hold on to that pause? That's the bchina of Shabbos, right? The pause. Can you hold on to that pause and say, oh wow, look at this reaction. If there's somebody that looking at the reaction, that person can say, you know what? Maybe it's time to react differently. No, you can't react differently. You're going to die if you react differently. This person is a tiger. This person wants to mow you right now. I know, I feel that, but maybe I could react differently. Maybe I just think he's a tiger. But that's not easy. When that happens, everybody understands what I'm talking about, or it's Alat Sadikim in the room. Anybody who deals with this knows. But that second is everything. So Gevaldik Kavach from the Moira Nayim, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid. So he has a sefer, everybody knows, Ma'ir Enayim. So this week, Parshas Boy, or last week, Parshas Veda, these weeks of Yitzis Mitzrayim, he asked the famous question of the Rambam. Everybody asked the Rambam, the Ramban, the Sepharna, most of the Rishonim asked the question, how could you take away somebody's Pchira? Shem tells Moshe, Ani achazek es loiv Parai, right? I'm going to make sure that Parai doesn't send it. So it's great, right? You take away somebody's choice, and then you punish him. That's wonderful. And what's the lesson of it? What are you trying to teach us? You want to punish him? Punish him. Don't. I'm going to make you do it. Really, I did it because I programmed you. And then I punish you and I'm the tzaddik and you're the rasha. Come on. You create a lioness. She has to eat. She has to feed her cub. So she goes and attacks a gazelle and she mows the gazelle and feeds it to her cub. And then you call her a rasha. Write a different program, right? Turn her into a puppy, not into a lioness. Turn her into an elephant and she'll eat grass. Was vilsto. It's not fair. Ah. It's very fast, but there's a tiny pause. That pause is the pause of Elikus. That pause is the pause of Shabbos. The more you're sensitive to the pause, the more you see it. Freedom is a muscle. You have to use it. If not, you lose it. It rhymes. Use it or lose it. Freedom is a muscle like any other muscle. If you don't use a muscle for 10 years, it's not usable anymore. If you use it every day, and you work it out, it becomes a power. You can become a powerhouse. Freedom is a muscle. You use it, it gets more powerful. You don't use it, I lose it. It's very important in life. Bchira is a muscle, it's a gift. In fact, the Rambam says that this is where the person is godlike. Hein ha'adam haya ka'achad mimenu. Hashem says about Adam, and the Rambam explains in Hilchus Tshuv in Perek Hei. Hein ha'adam haya ka'achad mimenu. The koyach ha'pchida is the space where man reflects Hashem, and where the human being reflects Hashem. That's why it's such a gift. That's why he doesn't take it away. To take away bchira from people, sometimes you feel like you wish you took it away, right? It would be nice. Just program them. That would be nice. Nobody has tainus to cockroaches. Nobody has tainus to mice until they come into your basement. Nobody has tainus to trees.
The exercise that you need to constantly
be challenged. To exercise bchira, you're challenged, yeah. That's this world. Yeah. This world is a school of challenge. And the moment you feel like you have no challenges, a new one comes that you didn't expect. Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara says in Brachas, Talmidei Chachamim, ein lehem menucha, loy ba'olam hazeh v'loy ba'olam haba. Why? Just because they're Talmidei Chachamim? No. Because they're in touch, because they're alive. They're alive. So they don't die. They don't die in the process. So this is the famous question. So different Yeshayim give different answers. Very geshmak answers. The Rambam has, the Ramban has, the Sefar. There's a lot of different answers given. Huh? I don't know the word is we're looking for Menuchas HaNefesh. We're looking for truth. We're looking for Dveikas. When there's real Dveikas, there's Menuchas HaNefesh. Because Menuchas HaNefesh doesn't mean I have no challenge to face. It means I face my challenge with equilibrium, with purpose, with serenity. There's a clarity there. I can face it without flinching. That's real Menuchas HaNefesh.
Menuchas HaNefesh means no resistance. In order to exercise
it, no resistance. I'm not busy trying to rewrite my reality. If I would have had another family and I would have been married to another person, I would have grown up in a different home and I would have had a different bin. I would have had different color eyes and I would be tall and short and rich and poor. I'm busy living somebody else's life vicariously and then maybe I would be miserable a little less.
That's the
Mjernis. Yeah, that's the Mjernis. So the Moira Naim, So the Moira Naim says, that it's a very, very deep stickle. Very, very deep. But one vart I want to bring out from there, at least the way I understood it is, he's saying it's a much deeper story. It's not, I want to punish Paroi, and I need a good excuse, so we'll make this trick, and then we'll kill him, you know, why not? He's saying no. He's actually describing to Moshe the whole inyan of Galus Mitzrayim. It's not a detail in the story. This is Galus Mitzrayim. Moshe can ask a question, why should the Jews leave Mitzrayim? What's... A lot of Jews didn't want to leave, right? Many of them stayed. Many of them wanted to go back. He's explaining to them what Mitzrayim looks like. Paroi is the poster boy for Mitzrayim. Paroi is the king. In other words, he's the zeitgeist of Mitzrayim. The Rambam says, Hamelech is Lev, Lev Kahal Yisrael. The king is the heart of the nation. Paroi is the heart of Mitzrayim. You want to understand what Mitzrayim is? Look at Paroi. What's the definition of Mitzrayim? The definition of Mitzrayim is you don't have Bchira. That's the definition. The definition of Mitzrayim is you don't have choices in life. Mitzrayim from the word Meitzar Ugvul. Meitzar. I'm confined in a very, very tiny little orbit. Yeah? And a person has no choice. You could see the destruction happening. One makkah, another makkah, another makkah. It's irrelevant. Why? Not because you don't see it. Your mind also will tell you. But essentially, I have no choice. If you want a simple contemporary English of 2024, it's called a person living act of trauma, where all my responses are simply based on survival. There's absolutely no consciousness, and it's so bad that I don't even know that. If I know it, it's already 50% of geula. I don't even know it. In other words, if you come to me and say, you know, maybe you need help, you become the enemy. You become the enemy because anything that's getting close to poking a hole and puncturing the gullus that was created, you become the enemy. If you come to me, you give me a compliment, then you're good. You're my best friend. And the brain does it so well because it protects anything of getting close that might challenge the framework that I created in order to survive. And everything is a response to that. And a person could live their entire life in this space. So Hashem is telling Moshe, this is what it looks like to live in Mitzrayim. This is what it looks like. This is the definition. The whole union of Bechira only begins when there's Das. Because Baal Shem Tov used to say, Golus is Das and Geula is Das. Das. Das means real awareness, visceral awareness. So, Ani Amarti Elikim Atem Uvnei Elion Kulchem. Yeah. Now, there's actually a concept called Bechira. And by the way, the more somebody becomes aware of their Koyach HaBechira, the more automatically they become freed of most of the Yetzaharas. Because much of the Yetzahara essentially is this union of Parai. It's keeping a person trapped in this place where my choices are so limited. So the more Das there is, the more choice there is, the more you see, wow, oh, so this is who I am. So if this is who I am, I actually don't need all this. Somebody once wrote me an interesting email. The person said he listens to a lot of classes. And he said that somebody came to him with a taina against a lot of the shiurim. And that is, till this person started to listen to shiurim, he believed that there's a yetzahara. And suddenly there's no yetzahara anymore. It's this event, it's that event, it's that event. You're a good person. Used to be, no, you have a Yetzirah. Yetzirah is bad and evil. The Yetzirah is prompting you to do all this. And suddenly everything changed. There's no Yetzirah anymore. Vakarta, Yisaydis Hadas, Yetzirah, Yetzirah, Schar, what is this? The emesis is the exact opposite. It's actually the ability to actually deal with the Yetzirah. In his case, I'll just give you an example of his particular case. This particular case is a younger man, a koyla younger man, and a fine younger man sits and learns all day. Not only sits and learns, gives chaburas, teaches, is a magachir, and is a roish chabur, in other words, very respected, and a Talmud Chacham, and he's doing it for many years. He's not the first year in koyla. He's learning in Kailu for decades, and he's a very respected person. And he's invited to give speeches, invited to give shiurim. But, sadly, and I'm not going to say all the details, because it's important to have a Lashon Nekiyah, but sadly, in his private life, he has a horrible, horrible addiction. Everybody can imagine what type of addiction. Addiction that undermines every last boundary of tznius and edelkeit, and marriage, and family, and loyalty. Horrible, horrible addiction. Nobody knows about it. Nobody, one person knows about it besides him. Now imagine how he feels about himself. Sitting and learning all day, not only learning, teaching. But he knows that the time he has for himself and when he's with himself, with a computer, whatever it is, a phone, it's a whole different life. So he feels like the greatest monster, liar, manipulator, deceiver in the world. And everybody understands why. Because he's an edel person. He's not a mushkas. He has a conscience. So he says, basically, I'm lying to the whole world. So then at this point, what am I supposed to do? Soon marrying off kids, and it's considered, you know, top family in this particular community. So this person, and he says, I try, and I learned every safe in the world 100 times. I learned Musa, and I learned Chassidus, and he did this, and he fasted. He did every zgula, you know, every zgula in the world. I would say it was the yotzer to the Baba Sali. So every zgula in the world he did. And he learned this, he told me all this svarim, he learned alts. Loi noga v'loi paga. So what's his conclusion? His conclusion is that he has a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is as big as Oig Melech HaBoshon, maybe bigger, Ashmedai, right? And all of his learning, it's worthless. At the moment he hits this Yetzirah, it's... And then, Ploini Almoini, someone suggested in one of the shiurim, I'm not going to tell you who, you'll figure out, that maybe your Yetzirah is not so big. Maybe Yetzirah is not so big. Maybe something happened to you as a child, which was not your fault. Maybe. And it really played with the core of your dignity. It played with the core of your personality. And that means it's not even you. It may be, like we learned in the Maimon from Derech Mitzvah Sechi, remember the neshamas that struggle. Maybe it's the curse, the toxicity, the poison of someone else who has his own stuff. And we're not going to get into that person's stuff, the mazik, that's now in you, And his voice became your voice. His darkness became your darkness. And you're responding that you don't even know it. Because you were 4 years old. You were 6 years old. You were 9 years old. Maybe you were 2 years old. Maybe. And lo and behold, kachava. And not by a stranger, but by somebody in his family himself. Not only somebody, but the person who's supposed to protect a child more than anybody else in the world. And when that happens, it's not just you're hurt. You're hurt by the one who's supposed to be your greatest protector. That means you're telling yourself as a four-year-old, I must be the meshugana. Because your father is the greatest person in your life. So who's the meshugana? You. So not only are you a Rasha Merusha, but you're a meshugana also, because you can even be chayshed your father. What a horrible person you are. And then in school, what do you hear every day? Kabbadis of Ichavas Emech is one of the Asayas Adibris. Now you know in your heart of hearts that your father Nebach is a sick, 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 sick man. But it happens sometimes. But in your mind, the whole world and your whole culture and your whole environment tells you, Chas v'shalom, and befrat that your father is honored at every dinner. And he usually gets shishi and sometimes shlishi and sometimes maftir also. Of course, Hagbig Lila Psyche called Nidei Ne'ila. And he's considered Tayrog Dilaba Makamechat. And everybody who meets you says, wow, you have such a father, what a lucky kid you are. Your father is the Tzadik Hadar, because he's responsible for Bikr Chayla Machnasas Orchem Lovayas. He created Hatzalah. He made all the Moizdas. And he already finished Shas the seventh time. So who's the crazy person in this world? Ich bin der Meshugana. I'm not talking about any part. I'm just trying to bring out the. So this four-year-old, what does he have left? He has left his own crazy brain that's making up a horrible story about a tzaddik adar. And what's the real truth? The real truth is that this kid is as innocent as they get. He's the purest, purest, purest soul. So for the first time in his life, what did he learn? He learned that it's actually not even him. Wow. Suddenly he's not the monster anymore. This whole addiction is someone else's darkness that he's dealing with, and ultimately it's part of his mission, because that's going to make him the person he's supposed to become. But suddenly you realize this whole, it's nothing even to do with you. You don't even want it. Your poor, poor brain has been wired to go to these addictions in order to deal with the horrific, horrific pain that you've been dealing with. And there's a reason the brain wires itself into these types of addictions. That's not their place now. But there's a lot of different reasons, but it's all a form of survival. So suddenly, when you identify what's really going on, you suddenly see that this big monstrous Yetzirah, it's not your essence. It's in you. It's not you. And somehow you could see, oh, wow, it's actually, I wasn't born with it. So there's less guilt, there's less shame, and the key is, there's freedom. It's not me. He thought it was him. So I said, look, when you understand this Shredish, what happens? For the first time, you're bigger than your Yetzirah. You're stronger than your Yetzirah. That's what people... you're taking away the Yetzirah. You allow people to realize that this huge Yetzirah is a little, tiny, insignificant creature that's wreaking havoc because you decided that he has all the power. That's how I understand what the Moir and I am saying. Hashem is telling Moshe, this is what Yetzirah Mitzrayim means. Yitzias Mitzrayim means stop living in that tiny little Meitzer Ugvul where you absolutely have no choices. This guy had choices as much as a monkey has a choice. When you put in front of it a Gevaldika peanut, how much choice does the monkey have? I want to know. It's like putting a piece of food in front of a Jew, Lahavdil Mitzrayim Kippur, right? And the Ne'ilah finished 3 hours late because whatever. And you put a piece, or you put a cup of water, how much p'chira? So Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshever, after Ne'ili, he went to a house, he said he needs a Masechta Sukkah, and he stayed up the night to learn Masechta Sukkah. But Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshever also said he doesn't know why it says in Chumash that you have to fast in Yom Kippur, and why the Nevi'im made a Tainus on Tisha B'Av. He says he doesn't understand. Yom Kippur, who wants to eat? And Tisha B'Av, who could eat? So he doesn't know why you need a mitzvah not to eat Yom Kippur. Who wants to eat on Yom Kippur? Some shugana, where you going to go eat? And Tisha B'Av, who could eat Tisha B'Av? So what do you have to tell me not to eat? Okay, so that person can also stay up home. Do I have p'chida not to eat after Yom Kippur? Yeah, you have p'chida. But you understand that how much p'chida did this Kailal Yungaman have? I just want to know. So he looks at himself evil. He's not evil, he's Yetzirah. Yeah, there's evil inside him, nothing to do with him. And today he's a liberated person. Today, his Yetzirah doesn't have power. It still exists. It's not transformed. It'll be transformed one day. But it's there's already a differentiation between me, Ani Amarti Elokim Atem, Uvnei Elyon Kolchem. Achein, Ka'achad Adam Temusim. A person turns himself into a shmata that just, you know, dies and rots away with everything else. Kuma Elokim Shaftar, it's in Tehillim. It's Ani Amarti Elokim Atem, Uvnei Elyon Kolchem. My vision of you is Elokim Atem. You're a Bnei Elyon. Achein, Ka'achad Adam Temusim. You turn yourself into a random creature that lives and dies and is just trying to survive. But really, you're rooted in the source of creation. You're rooted in this Bore, and b'meila, there's an inyan of Bechira. So in a paradoxical way, a person can fall so low only because they come from such a high place. So I could make a choice. And when a person makes a choice, then they could be lamata mehaklipa. Why? Because the klipa doesn't deviate. And the person can actually rewrite things. So this is already a lower level of lamata adin tachlis. On this we say, Eirein Soif is here also. Eirein Soif is here also. V'zeo mashem amshech ba'maymer. Everyone is toifus, didn't you?
Tanya Mashma, if a person always had Bechira, he differentiates Bechira by Maha, Hoylech, Mershukuma, Mershik, but he doesn't take away the last part of Bechira. He doesn't say it's like a monkey to a peanut or a Jew, but not to a human. The question is, didn't work too far.
In Pedekalamid, the person who's internalizing Tanya has Bechira. You know why? Because the whole yesod of Tanya is that you have a nefesh alikis, that's a chelek alikami mal, mamish. And when, if you can experience that, if that can be your best friend, you have Bechira. Because all the abuse can't happen in the chelek alikami mal, mamish. Nobody can abuse Hashem. Nobody can abuse the chelek alikami mal. But that younger man did not know he has a chelek al kamal. He knew it in Tanya. He read Tanya a thousand times. Not a thousand. He told me he read Tanya many times. But it was irrelevant. It says in Tanya, the Bala Tanya believes I have a chelek al kamal. Shishkoyach. I like you. Fine. You're good. Believing you have a chelek al kamal mamash doesn't mean that I'm living with believing a chelek al kamal mamash is fine. It's an amunah. So it's good for a shir. So he gave it over in a shir. And everybody liked it. But he was the only one who didn't believe it. You understand? Chelik alakamim al mamash, you have to be filling in the bainer. It needs to be in the bones. I can live with it, breathe it, be in that space. That's a whole different reality. That's where the Alter Rebbe speaks so much about das. There's chachmah, there's bin, and then there's das. V'adam yada eschava. Adam yada eschava means intimacy. It has to go into me. Yada, integration. Without integration, it's not with integrity. Integrity, I didn't know. My son told me integrity is from the Lashon integration. Integration isn't, I never knew that. I thought it's two nice words. But he said if it's not integrated, there's no integrity. Because it's not emes. It's a nice vort. It's a vort. You know, it's another vort. You have a chelik alakamah. What cost me money to say a chelik alakamah? You know, from the jokes they say about the Soviet Union, the great paradise of communism that some of our parents and grandparents grew up in. And some people know firsthand. So they say there was a teacher. They used to brainwash the classroom after classroom. It was a whole, it was an interesting thing how they did it. Very tragic. So there was a classroom. So the teacher turned to one of the boys and said, you know, if you owned Moscow, if you owned everything in Moscow, would you give it away to Mother Russia? And of course to Comrade Stalin, who was the, you know, the quintessential soul of Russia. So the boy said, of course. And if you owned America, would you give it away? Of course. Yeah. And if you owned 100 million ruble, would you give it away to Mother Russia? What's the question? Of course I would give it away. He says, what about your pants? Would you give away your pants? He said, no, that I won't give away. So he says, why? He says, because that I own. That I own. That's das. You understand? I have a chelik al kamimah. It costs money to say I have a chelik al kamimah. It's like, there's no point. It's nicer than saying that people are horrible. They have a chelik al kamimah. The moment a person experiences it, then they have bechira. If I don't experience it, if my brain doesn't register it, it's just another shear, then I'm just a compulsive, literally a compulsive person, reacting to whatever is happening in order to survive. Think about it practically. If right now I'm giving a shear right now, if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm dreaming. If chas v'shalom, right, two lions come in from both sides, that door and that door. But I'm talking about real lions, okay? And they're hungry. They want breakfast. They didn't eat breakfast yet. The shul's cookies are not enough. They want a real breakfast. And Baruch Hashem, there's a bunch of chtichas haruyus l'schabed here. So the lions get themselves ready. They went to the mikveh. They make a bracha. They say l'shem yichud, right? And there's a panic. Everyone is screaming and hollering. And hopefully our friend with the ammunition is here. What's his name? And he comes. And I say, well, once I chevra. Chevra, we're in the middle of learning. Okay, you know what? We're going to do some breathing exercise. Let's relax. Close your eyes. We'll do meditate. We'll go. Calm your nervous system, right? How many of you, if you're normal, are going to listen to me? If you're normal, you say, you know, you could sit here with your meditation. We're out. We're out. At least there's another entrance. You fly out. You say, what happened? What happened to all of you? The answer is, if we're in a closed, safe room, we could breathe, we could meditate, we can relax. At this moment, to relax, you have to be a meshugana. Your brain says, no, don't meditate now. Because there's not going to be anybody left to meditate. You're going to be meditating in the womb, in the stomach of the lion. And that's not going to be a nice meditation. So go find yourself safety, and then you'll already have to meditate for 10 years to relax from the attack. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying it as a mushal. It's a funny mushal. But you want to know something? It's not a mushal. This is how people's lives work. It's just not a physical lion. It's a mental lion. Your wife said something. Your husband said something. Your child said something. Especially your teenager who's struggling said something. Your mother-in-law said something. Your brother-in-law said something. Your sister-in-law said something. Your rabbis, I don't know who said, your partner, your employee. They said something. They sent a text. They sent an email. In your mind, it's a lion that just came in from one window and another window. What does the brain do? It reacts. That's it. It reacts. And how does it react? Either it screams, either it freezes, either it runs, either it attacks, what they call flight, fight, freeze, fawn. Either it surrenders. Every brain does things different. But that's what it is. It's two lions attacking me. Where does bechira happen? Bechira happens when I could say, oh, wow. A part of my brain is saying that a lion is attacking. That's it. Now you're done. Because the Nefesh HaLikis knows that a lion is not attacking. A part of my brain is saying that a lion is attacking. I get it. And that's why I'm going crazy. The moment you could notice that, you say, oh, wow. But let me ask my neshama, is a lion attacking? No, you're fine. You're good. You're powerful. You're divine. Nobody, you're invincible. Oh, so I could react differently. So let me react with love. Let me react with patience. You typhus? That moment is the hardest moment in the world because that part of the brain will not let go easily. That's called the Nefesh HaBahamas. The Nefesh HaBahamas just needs to protect you. And it has a memory and it's conditioned and it has very little bechira and it's just trying to do its best. It's not even a bad guy. Even this guy's monstrous Yetzirah actually wasn't a bad guy. It was bad in the sense he made horrible decisions, of course. I don't mean it wasn't bad, but it wasn't bad in the sense the poor kid was trying to protect himself from age 4 years old. The moment you have that, you can even have rachmanis on your Yetzirah, like, wow, I'm so sorry. This is what had to become of you, such a addicted shmat and nebuch. You can have rachmanis. You know what happens when you have rachmanis on the Yetzirah? Yetzirah says, wow, I can have rachmanis on myself too. And he could let go. And that's where you begin to transform things. People are afraid that if they know what's really happening, you're oiker, the basis of religion. You're not oiker. That's where Yiddishkeit becomes alive. That's where you can have real Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim is a healthy thing. It's the healthiest thing. Yerushamayim means you're afraid to destroy what's supposed to be a beautiful life. It's the other way around. If I live in Paroi's mind, then I'm extremely limited. So let's see, right. V'zal, Masha Mamshech Ba Maimer. This is what he continues in the Maimer. K'masha Kasavim Esak Shamayim Shamata V'atziya Sha'el Hineka. Chavbez. Sifei. We now go to the next step in Lamata Adin Tachlis, which is the person who does deviate. Who's taka different than Klippa. Klippa sticks to the system. He doesn't stick to the system. He creates havoc. He deviates from Ratzon HaBayit. What does Ratzon HaBayit mean? Ratzon HaBayit essentially means the cosmic design, the cosmic plan. When we hear Ratzon HaBayit, yeah, Herr Isaac, it doesn't mean the will of Hashem. Like, I said, I don't care what you want. Ratzon HaBayit means, like I said last week, what's Avodas Hashem, yeah? You remember what's Avodas Hashem? Alignment, right? Alignment. So Ratzon HaBayit means the plan of the programmer. There's living in tuned with the rhythm of life. I was once in a choir. A lot of memories are coming up today. But I was once in a choir. Eli Lipska's choir. I don't know if anybody remembers. Eli Lipska had a choir. Olav HaShalom. So it was very exciting. We sang with Joe Amar and Mordechai Ben David. And Avramo Fried was just starting off then. It was exciting for kids, you know, to sing in these concerts. Some other Jewish singers. So I remember it was once a big concert. And I was in the choir. And near me there was a boy. A classmate of mine, actually. And the conductor began the song. And he started a different tune. So you had this whole choir. And the conductor couldn't say anything because it was in front of everybody. But I could see his face. The poor guy wanted, I thought it was funny. But I wasn't responsible. I was just a kid in the choir. Right? It was very obvious what was wrong. He was just singing another song. He was singing another song, but he was destroying the whole system. That's Pshat. Ratzon HaBayit, it means there's a symphony. And either I could be in tuned, I could sing my song, I could play my notes, or I can deviate from that. And what happens? I detach myself from myself, because I'm also part of that. I can't really detach myself, but in my own mind, I detach myself. That Klippa never does. So this is, in a way, more Lamata even than Klippa. I don't remember what happened at the end. But I remember the moment and I remember the face of the guy who was in charge. How horrified he was. I understood. So this is what he says in the Maimon. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kufla Mites, famous Pasuk. David HaMelech says, oh, that's the Nekuda now. Im Esak Shamayim Shamata Vatziya Sha'ili Neka. David HaMelech says, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. V'atziya sha'oil, even if I lie down. Atziya from the word matzah is a mattress. Sha'oil, sha'oil is in the abyss. Sha'oil is lamata mata, the abyss, the gehenim. Hineka, you're there. Atvistum. What's pshat? Sha'rei, so he teaches, why does he bring this pasuk in the Maimon Basi Lagan? It's all with a diuk. It's sha'rei inyin ha-sha'oil wa'oinish la'ivri ritzayna. The concept of sha'ol is the consequence, is the punishment, to those who deviate from the will, those who transgress the will. That's the concept of sha'ol, Gan. V'al zen nemar v'atziya sha'ol neka, shagam sham yesh ne'erin seif. So he says, neka, erin seif is there too. In that space too, of sha'ol, which doesn't only represent this world, v'atam achayas kulam, or even klippa, beit sekinim. This is already sha'ol, this is the next level. This is Lamata Adin Tachlis. Why is there Sha'el? Sha'el is for the person who actually changes the program. The only one who could, because he has choice or she has choice. So you should know, even there, you would think, okay, kaput, now you're detached. He says, no, Hineka. Eirin Seif Lamata Adin Tachlis. In that space, there's Eirin Seif. And when we say Eirin Seif is there, that's not saying, Einoid Melvadi, Hashem is everywhere, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. He could be in Gehenna also, he could only be in Gan Eden. He doesn't need air conditioning. He could be in hot places too. Hineka means in the space itself, but it's out of space. In other words, you could find the Eirin Seif there too. Not just because he's infinite, like we learned before. It's mitzad, the gedit of the inyan itself. Yeah.
So if we are all chelik of God, so why there is a Gehenna? So what should that neshama is so pure? What's the concept of Gehenna? We're so pure. lose our body, to lose our yitzhak, is what we transform to the next world.
Excellent question. Why is there b'chlal sha'oil of the soul is so pure? So we'll get to that in a moment. Mamish, in a few minutes. He discusses it. For inyan bazeh, to explain this more, k'mishim avayin admurem tzai b'shara tzitzis, the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Balatanya, is a sefer called Imrei Bine, a section of tzitzis, shara tzitzis. Mashakasavim esek shamayim shamayim vatziyah shel shneim yachad. He says that the Dovid HaMelech puts them together. Shekashem shim esek shamayim shamata k'may kenat ziyah sha'ili neka atam mamish k'may shenimtze b'shamayim. It's not stam. I go there and I see you and I go here. He puts it together in one pasuk. In the Lashon HaMelech, it's called a hekesh. Like v'yotze v'hoysa, makesh avi'ili yitziya, right? How do we know that you could be mekadesh b'shtar? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, daftes, because in the same pasuk it says v'yotze v'hoysa. So makesh avi'ili yitziya, ma yitziya b'shtar, avi'ili b'shtar. It's called hekesh. Juxtaposed when two things are in one pasuk. So the Mittler Rebbe says, that's pshat. Not in heaven you're there. And in, no, it's the same thing. Makesh avi'ili yitziya. It hurt. The Tzaddik says, what's that makesh avi'ili yitziya? This word. There's a time when you're havi'a, when you're married. Then the time you're divorced. You're separated. Makesh avi'ili yitziya. So the Zalbazach. What's part of the Zalbazach? Not the Zalbazach. Here you're in Shamayim, and here in Sha'ol. So this is the Chiddush. That Eirin Soif Lamata Adin Tachlis, the same, just like him Esek Shamayim Shamata. So the same Ata, the way he's in Shamayim, is Atziya Sha'olinak. But says the same Ata. That's the Chiddush of Eirin Soif Lamata Adin Tachlis. It's not that when it comes down to a certain place, so either he says Atkan, sorry, I can't go here. You're too dirty. Or I'll go there, but I won't remain me. Maybe Hashem goes into Gullus with you and he becomes part of the problem. So one of the two. Either I stay away because I'm too pure, or I'll take and become dirty. So both. Just like the same Ata, the same Ein Soif, that's Lamayla Adin Ketz, the Ein Soif is Lamata Adin Tachlis. In other words, in the Sha'ol is Hineka, just like in Shamayim. Even though in the Tzir, this is Sha'ol, this is not Eirin Soif. But that's the Chiddush of Eirin Soif Lamata Adin Tachlis. There's no Metzias, there's no Hechitimtza of real separation and real detachment. Vishamavaya Baruch, he explains that playing the Mittler Rebbe, Zelu Umaze Asa Elikim. The Pasuk says in Kayela, Zelu Umaze Asa Elikim, Hashem created everything Zelu Umaze, which means every force in holiness has a counterforce in not holiness. So we tied Zelu Umaze Asa Elikim. Hashem made Zelu Umaze. Everything has competition. He teaches Zelu Umaze Asa Elikim. It's the same Asa Elikim. The same Asa Elikim of Zeh is the same Asa Elikim of Lomaza. It's not two separate Asa Elikims. It's the same Asa Elikim. V'lochen k'shem shebetachli sili d'gdush shezo inyan karneim beruch nizyashna inyan sidus. Shidus hazaka de lamayla. K'meshakosu v'atik yamin yasiv levushik islag chivir v'sadei shekam arnoka.
It's a very fundamental concept in Kabbalah, known as Sidus here. It says in Daniel, he describes Hashem, Va'atik Yoimin, the ancient one, sits. His garment is like white snow, slag chiver in Aramaic, and the hair of his head is like white wool. So in Kabbalah it says that Levushe kislag chiver is the talus. It's like white snow. And the Sa'areshe kamar noka, the hair of his head is like white wool, that's the tzitzis. Which Vayikacheni, but tzitzis roitshi, it's like the hair of the head. What's the idea? Sidus, here, it's the only part of the body, or one of the, like, nails, very part of it, it's alive, it grows, but it has no nerves. So therefore, when you cut it, there's no pain. In a more spiritual language, it gets chiyus from the soul. But the chayus is so mitzumtzum, it's so restricted, it's so condensed, that it's not like chas v'shalom when you cut off another part of the body with this horrible pain. Because it's there, it's part of the body, it grows from the body. It grows from the brain, everything comes from the brain. But it's called Behefsik al Gulgoilus. There's a separation of the skull, which represents that there's an absolute barrier between the brain and the hair. So the minute level of energy that comes into the hair is much, much more condensed. And because it's much more condensed, So therefore, it's a chayis muat ma'ot. In Kedusha, what does that mean? That sometimes the highest levels of godliness, the way they come out is through Cyrus. Sa'aresha kamar naka. Because the energy is so intense, it needs to be condensed into the hollow here, which comes from the follicle, which comes from the source of the here, and that channels a very minute form of energy. That's the power of here. The same is true in Klippa. That sometimes, when the Klippa goes through here, so now the energy becomes even more restricted, becomes even more restricted than it was originally. So now it's a very, very, very tiny level of energy. So now ungodliness can get a lot of nurture because the gilui, the revelation, is so small. So he says, "V'zeu shematzinu sheseyer beisha erva, mashenkin ben nazik siv kadoshia gadol peres aresha." V'hainu lefi sheseyer the nazirim ebchinas seyer the kedusha, mashenkin kasher aseyer seyer makom shesh tzumim v'dinim as I nimshich mem yenikel lo'umazesh as oimek tachas sheol. What's the yachas? What's the relationship of Yiddishkeit to here? It's a paradox. When it comes to a nazir, let your hair grow. You're not allowed to cut your hair. Why? So the Torah says, "Fakert, kadosh ye gadol peres aresh in parshas nasa." The hair represents his holiness. A nazir who's separated, he's aloof, he's more holy. So he's not allowed to become tummy, he's not allowed to drink wine, and he's not allowed to touch his hair. The hair is full of kedusha. Like you have by Shimshon, when he cut his hair, he lost his power, and Shmuel Anavi was a nazir, Avshalom was a nazir. Maris explains in Nazir, all these Nazirim, you're not allowed to touch your hair. If you become a Nazir today, you're not allowed to cut your hair. The Rakachava had very long hair. Some people say it had a Shachas to Naziris. I'm not sure. There's a whole debate about it. The Rakachava, you see the pictures here. So over there, hair is holy. We speak about payas. Payas are holy. A beard, it says in Zayis, Yidgimul Tikkunei Dikna, represents Yidgimul Midas Harachim, Kedusha. And yet, sometimes you say with here, you have to be careful with here. Say a beisha, married woman, the Gemara says, say a beisha ervim, seches brachas. Cover the hair. Why? The nazir doesn't have to cover the hair. So what is it with here? The answer is, here is a very, very interesting type of creation. Here represents that whatever the chiyus comes through a lot of tzimtzum. It comes in a very, very restricted fashion. So if you're dealing with a very, very lofty level of Kedusha, so then when it comes through the Sidus, when it comes through the here, it's restricted. What's being restricted? What's being restricted is a very, very infinite lofty level. So therefore, afterwards, it remains holy, even though it's a more restricted form of holiness. So that's like the Nazir. But sometimes what happens is the here could so restrict the energy that now, if it's exposed, it could be a yenikah l'chitzayinim. It could be misused in a non-productive way. In simple English, it would mean, right, that sometimes the hair, it has, a woman's hair, especially after marriage, has very intense energy. That's the metzius. What's called sensual energy. And such type of energy always needs to be protected. Why does it have to be protected? Not because it's bad, but because it can be misused. That's called, it could be a yenike lachitzayinim, it could be a yenike lelumaza. Who someone who's not in a perfect refined state can use it in an inappropriate way. So you have to know what type of energy is being brought, is coming through the sidus. So there are sidus here by a nazir, the sidus themselves are kedusha. Why the sidus themselves kedusha? Because it's a high level of ruchnius that's being mitzumtzum through the sidus. Huh? Why not? Interesting. That's an interesting question. That's how we know Seir B'Isha Erva. By a Soita, it says Ufaras Reisha Isha, right? And that's something that's, it's not a Geshmaka thing. So the Gemara says Mikan should Seir B'Isha Erva. So from here we see that usually it's an Inyan of Erva. What's that, an Inyan of Erva? An Inyan of Erva is something that has to be protected because it's intense energy. There's a lot of energy here, but it's energy that can be misconstrued and misinterpreted. In other words, people can use the woman's here in a way that undermines her own dignity. She must protect it, and she is the one who needs to master her own here. She decides in the right place with the right person this energy to open it up, to free it up, whether it's in front of a husband, etc., in front of herself. In other words, it's not something, if it's something that's hefker, it can also be misused. Why? Because you have to recognize energy. You have to recognize there's an intense energy. But what type of energy is it? It's an energy, feminine energy, which comes down. It's very, very real in the world. And when it comes through Sidus, it needs to be protected. The Nazir, it's a different type of energy that comes through the hair. So B'meila, what do we see from here? So the concept of Sidus is... It's not in the sheitel. People say this answer, well, the sheitel could be nicer. It's not negay if it's nicer or not. The union of a sheitel is not a win that a woman, that Yiddish believes a woman has to be ugly. It's not chas v'shalom. So sheitel is nice, some of the sheitels are nicer than the hair. That's not the vort. The vort is a natural hair that flows from the body, has a certain intensity. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. It's a different energy, it's a different union. Yeah. In other words, a woman needs to know that your dignity needs boundaries. And it's true with every person in their own way. Every person, your dignity needs boundaries. In other words, you have to own the energy that's coming out of you because it can be used in different ways. People's energies can be used in different ways, sometimes in very nice ways and sometimes in difficult ways. It's really a self, it's a form of self-respect and dignity. And that's why it's a married woman, because certain parts of a married person come out, so the here already has a whole different type of energy versus a person who's not married yet. A beard, it's a whole different avoid. The payas, it's a whole different type of sidus. People sometimes think, I get sometimes questions, women, why should I cover the hair? Why should I cover my hair? Because I have beautiful, why should I cover my hair? It's not like a punishment. It's exact opposite. It's a form of respect. Remember, there's a Yid, Rav Yitzchak David Grossman. You know Rav Yitzchak David Grossman? He's the Rav of Migdal HaEmek. He's a very, very special person. He has a lot of Moizdas in Eretz Yisrael. Migdal Oir. He has big centers in Migdal HaEmek of education, especially youth. So when the Russian Jews came out in 1990, so he opened up a whole center for Russian children to educate them and help them. So he made a choir of Russian kids to go around Eretz Yisrael and the world to sing. You know, it was a way of inspiring people and fundraising for his moizdus, whatever it was a chor, it was a choir. So I remember those years, it was 1990 or 91, he came to New York, so he went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he went for dollars, and so he was telling the Rebbe about the choir that he made. The Rebbe was very happy, and he said that he's having a challenge because... You know, some people are pressuring him to put girls, Russian girls, also in the choir. So the Rebbe sets him something as a poshet. He said, "Medav zei maz bezayin." Medav zei maz. The Gemara over there says, "Say be yisherva and kol be yisherva." Says, "Medav zei maz bezayin." As the kol for naisha is verbunden mit ihr Schenkeit, und das turner sein hefker. I don't remember the lashon, but something like that. In other words, the sound of the girl, the voice, the koil, is a reflection of her beauty, of her glory. She has to own it. When I sing in public, anyone who's in the room is taking from it. It's not hefker. It's not hefker. What it means it's not hefker. Hefker means it can't be owned by everybody. You have to own it. In the right place, if you sing, adirabah. But in the wrong context, it's compromising the dignity of the girl herself. So what's the maskana here? So we're talking all about vatsiya shayli neka. So he says, just like in Kedusha, you have the concept of Sidus, which means the energy comes b'tzimtzum. So the energy of Kedusha comes out in a more restricted fashion. Klipa also works that way. when you have an energy from a different world, what comes out in Cyrus, it's a more restricted form of energy, meaning the divinity is felt less, so it can be used in different ways. And that's really the whole concept of tznius. Really, the whole concept of tznius is protecting the godliness of it. Because when you expose certain things, what happens? It's not that the godliness is not there, but it's not so manifested, and therefore all types of klippas can take from it. It's a very Edelinian. You could start taking stuff from it. Why? Because the godliness is not so revealed. It's more restricted. So you have to protect it. Because it can be misused. When Elikus is begalui, it can't be misused. When it's not begalui, other forces can take over. So just like in Kedusha, it works that way. In Klipos, it works that way. But the Nekuda is that it's the same system. That even if it's coming out through here, so it's coming out in a condensed fashion, and there's klippa that can nurture from it, but it's still what? It's Ein Sof. The Ein Sof is hidden there, it's present there. So he finishes, he says, Achal zeh nemar vatziya sha'oili neko. Ukefi sha'amar yoyne mi beten sha'oil shivati. Hainu shegam mi toicha sha'oil makir der herter elikus. The Heter Elikus from the Sha'al. It says by Yoina, he was swallowed up by the fish, right? When he was sent to the prophesize, and he didn't want to, and he ran away, and they threw him out of the boat, the ship, and he was swallowed up by the dog, by the whale. And it says inside the womb, in the stomach of the dog, he started to daven. And he says, Mi beten Sha'al Shivati. From the stomach, from the womb of Sha'al, From the belly of the abyss, I cry out. So the Rebbe teaches, what's the pshat? Fun sha'oil hata in sha'oil hata deherta lakus. That's the chiddush. Atziya sha'oil neka mi beten sha'oil, in the belly of the sha'oil. It's not just in the sha'oil I davened. From the sha'oil he found Ein Sof. That's the chiddush of Lamad Nadal. It's not Hashem is also in the sha'oil. The sha'oil itself brings you to God. That's the chiddush of Lamata Adin Tachlis. And sometimes we see that in people's lives. Huh? Yeah. So it's not they hit rock bottom, so now there's nowhere to go. It's much more than that. Yeah. In the rock bottom itself, you encounter the Ein Sof. Sometimes I couldn't encounter it anywhere else. It's over there that you vatziya sha'oil, and suddenly he neka. That's where I learned about it. In this darkness, you learn about. How could you learn about it there? You have to first go away. The answer is because it's present. It's just very concealed. So sometimes, the only way I can find the Ein Sof is there. So you'll say, why only there? It's also with the Lamaila. So he says, Yisaidim is that. K'mashakas of Meirit Sha'el Vayal. The Pasuk says, Shmuel Aleph Beis, Chana says, he brings you down to the Sha'el Vayal and he picks you up. So normally you learn it's two separate things. He says, no. It means the reason you're made at Sha'ol is in order to go up. Because some souls need to find the Ein Sof in the Sha'ol. The Aliyah is always commensurate with the Yerida. In other words, we're saying those souls that need to find the deepest place of Ein Sof need to go down all the way to the Sha'ol because the Aliyah from the Meir Chayil is Vayol, it's all the way up. Because the Aliyah is always commensurate with the Yerida. In other words, when you find the Ein Sof Lamata Adin Tachlis, you find the Ein Sof, the infinity. You would never find that in heaven. In heaven, you find heaven. In Sha'il, you find infinity. So the Aliyah is much greater. That's why you have to go to Sha'il. That's the answer to your question. He's going to explain. V'haynu sh'ma'oynish the Meir Chayil gufa muvan tachlis ilu sh'nasal yadeh. From the fact that there is this punishment, this consequence of Meirat Shel, you can understand the Aliyah. Why? Shara Yadu, it's knowing. Sha'ain Shia Toyda Einim L'Shem Oynish Baal Mechas V'Shalom. Shara Toyda Yitoyda Chesed. V'im Kein Gama Oynish B'Toyda Winyin Shel Chesed. Sh'tachlisi U'shati Yistakin V'yachzal L'Mutav. There's no punishment in Toyda to punish. We say a punisher, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm bigger than you. I'm take revenge. There's no such a thing. Torah is called, we say every morning, Torah's Chesed. Torah's Chesed means a Torah of love and kindness. Every Nekudah of Torah is pure love. You start learning Masechta Sanhedrin, Masechta Makkos. You'll see Sagan's Lebedik over there with punishments. So what happened to the Chesed and love? Love, 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 until you start learning Gemara. So he says you have to understand what it is. There's no such a mitzvah of punishing for the sake of punishing. You didn't listen to me? I'm bigger than you. I'm going to take revenge. I'm angry. Even the einish shebetayda is always an inyan of love. Shetachlisa yu sheyistaken v'yachzal amoto. V'ad kedei kach. Hu ha'ilu shebishvil zeh kedai afilu ha'inyan demeirit shoyl. Shezeh lamata yoysam inyan haklipa. And so much is their love, I'm ready to risk that you should go to Sha'ol because I know this is the only way for real healing.
So, Sha'ol is in this world?
So you have Sha'ol in the...
give you opportunity to do Yeridu Tzarchali.
Yeah, so you can have Sha'ol in this world, like by Yoina. So now if a person didn't have it in this world, right? So it's kedai to go through such a yirida, not chas v'shalom for torture, because of the aliyah. So to rob a person from sha'ol, to rob a soul from sha'ol, in the next world is robbing them from the ability of the soul to be able to be what it's supposed to be. Like the Gemara says, k'mayim ben azad, the Gemara says in Chagig about Ache, Elisha ben Avoya, mutav de ledaini v'leisil al medase. Better he should go through what he has to go through. He should be able to experience the purity of his soul. Ne'elam haba. V'kivun shezeh din kasha b'yoysen, harei muvan mailas ha'taynug v'atoyva shemagi aleh. If it's such a din, there was smoke coming out of his grave, whatever that represented spiritually. So you want to torture Elisha ben Avoya? It means fakert. It means that the bliss he's going to experience is so powerful that the meirut sha'ol is worth it in order to give him this bliss. In other words, it's all a form of chesed. So here you have the illustration that even in the lowest place, the Adam HaPesheya, Pesheya means the sinner and the ultimate sinner. And not only that he deviates, but like he said before, in sin itself, you could sin with something in the world. This guy takes Torah. And with the koyach of Torah, he says a halacha that's hepech haTorah. In other words, he uses kedusha for klippa, like Elisha ben Avoya. So don't think that you're detached, even in that thing that's lower than klippa, is also eden sof lamata adin tachlos. In the sha'ol is lamata adin tachlos. It says by koyach v'yardu v'yerdu chayim sha'ola. By koyach v'yerdu chayim sha'ola. Yeah, this is the connection. It says by koyach that koyach was jealous of Aden, because Aden, the Levim had to shave in the Midbar, right? Because they're Gvura. So from there here, there could be negativity. Aden was Chesed. So Aden says, Kashemen HaToiv Yoyered Al Skan Aden, Shayored Al Pimidoisov. So Korach got jealous from Aden, because Aden had a long beard. So Korach got jealous. It says in Medrash. And then he said to Moshe, Talis Shekulat Chelis, Chayev is Betzitzis, or not? If you have a talis that's old chelis, does it still need tzitzis? So Moshe said, yeah. So he said, that's ridiculous. If you have one strand of chelis, it's good. Then a whole talis of chelis, you don't need tzitzis. So what was the machlaikas? The machlaikas was about Cyrus. It was about Cyrus. Korach wasn't Goyrus, the union of Cyrus. He didn't feel you need Cyrus. What happens with Korach? He didn't understand that this could be a tzimtzum, such a tzimtzum, that you have to be careful. That's why he couldn't have Cyrus. And that's where the tzitzis has to have Cyrus. So what happens? V'yerdu chayim sha'ola. He goes down into the sha'ol. And what does it say by Korach and his children? That mokim nizbatzu lehem begehenim, right? For asu tshuva. The Gemara says, they're screaming, Moshemes v'terasayemes. All the mizmoirim, all the tehillim of levnei Korach and tehillim was mokim nizbatzu lehem begehenim, in the sha'ol. By yoyna osu, mibetin sha'ol shivati. We're in the fish. It says in Zoya that Yoyna represents the soul and the boat is the body, because when you come into the ocean, the soul can't survive. So the soul needs the body. And then you get swallowed up in the fish. The Gemara says that Dogim represents Gili Arayis, because they multiply excessively. Dogim multiply more than everybody else. Yosef said, V'yidgul arayv b'kerev aretz. Dag also comes the word daigin, anxiety. So a person sometimes falls into this world and you go down into the sha'oil, either of addiction, gili arayis, dag, or daig, anxiety, two forms of being swallowed up And the person falls into the shoil. So what's the chiddush? Imesek shamayim shamata v'atziya shoil ineka. There's never a metzius you say, I'm in the shoil, and therefore God gave up on me. I'm a lost case. There's no such a metzius. Oirein sof lamata adein tachlis. It's in the matzav of the shoil itself. I, you say, no. No, I have to leave it. Once I do tshuva and I find a source, maybe he'll take me back. That's one level, but there's a deeper level. And that is that the Eirin Saif is in this place itself, even though it's terribly concealed, like through here. But because of that, mi beten sha'oil, in the sha'oil, the herta lekus. Because Eirin Saif never left. Not only it never left, it's in that space, even though it's completely concealed. Huh? So now why does it even happen? This yirid itself is because lamata adin tachlis, the sha'ol brings the person to a place that he couldn't have gone before. Now you'll say, but it's all chesed. That's the vart. Because the neshama is so pure, is so divine, when the neshama gets connected or filth attaches itself to it, so the poor neshama now can't be who it's supposed to be. It can't experience the full bliss of what it is. Why? Because it has all these things attached to it. So the neshama goes on a journey, ma'irit sha'al, but it's all vayal. There's no such a thing a punishment for the sake of a punishment. It's always for tikkun, it's always for chesed. Fakert, if the sha'al is so deep, it means that you're getting rid of such dirt and such filth that the bliss is going to be completely shalai barach. So it may look scary, but really what it is, it's allowing the person to reach a tainug, such a deep tainug that without this they couldn't reach it. So you can only imagine how powerful the tainug is, how powerful the goodness is, that if a person has to go through this ringer in order to be able to experience it, it must be such a toiv that you need this tzarech aliyah. So this brings out the lamata adin tachlis, even below klipa, even the person who deviates, and that's why there's sha'ol. What's sha'ol? Sha'ol is the einish for the over itzayne, like Gehenna. So we say mi beten sha'ol shivati, in the sha'ol itself. It's not that you're disconnected. No, you're connected. You just didn't know you were connected, but the einin seif was always there, even in that space. And all the love is there, and all the connection is there, and all the oneness is there, and all the healing is there. Because the whole shayl itself is only a yidid tzarech aliyah. So there's never a nekuda where Eirin Sof is lamata adin tachlis, that you're so low that we're done. Either I'm detached from you, or I become tameh, and I'm not really there. Eirin Sof is not there. No, you say, mi beten shol shivati, Yoina says. In that place, from the belly of the abyss, I cry out to you. What does he say? Deher telekus. Loshna Yiddish, what do you say? Fun de shoyl de herter elikus. Mitoich ha-shoyl. How can you de her elikus from the shoyl? Because Eirin Sof is lamata adin tachlis. I fell so low. You fell so low. But the Eirin Sof is there. And again, when we mean there, it doesn't mean it's there in its own infinite space. It's there means it's there in the shoyl. But Tzimtzim, that's why it brings out that Sidus. The Sidus means it could be completely condensed, but the Eirin Sof is there. So in a person's life, in a very practical way, what does this mean? It means sometimes you find yourself in the sha'ol. Sometimes. There's a word from Rabbi Aaron Halevi Mistrashela. He was a Talmud of the Alter Rebbe. I think he says it in one of his Maimonim, that sha'ol is the same words, same letters like sha'ol. Sha'ol. What does sha'ol mean? Borrowed. Right? Shoal. Mehashem she'iltiv. A shoal is a borrower. So he says, a hafla de kevart. What does it mean to be in the shoal? That you live a borrowed life. That's shoal. The first form of shoal is you're a shoal. You're living a borrowed life. I'm not living my life. I'm living your life. I borrow your life. Why do I borrow your life? God gave me my life. The answer is, I think my life is too sick and too horrible. So I'm busy borrowing somebody else's life. But that means something very deep. It means very often, I'm living on a daily basis, but I'm not living me. I'm living you. I'm living you. I'm living you. In other words, I'm constantly being makab. I'm like a parasite. You know, like we spoke about lice, right? I live off you and I live off you and I live off you, and I'm looking for the next one I can borrow from. Why? There's no me. There's no Tzir Adam. Huh? Kinim, yeah, Kinim. I have more. I substitute my name with a kinui, with another name. I borrow your name to become my name. That's the concept. And it expresses itself in so many different ways. Ending up literally in the Gehenna, what does it mean? Back to that story that I told before. What was his problem? He was borrowing his father's life. He thought he has his father's problems. You understand? This younger man thought he had his father's problems. His father never healed, so he thought he has this problem. What was his healing? His healing was not to say that I'm a Rasha Merusha and I have to go torture myself. His healing was, I'm not my father. I'm actually a great guy. I told him, your healing is that you have to realize that you're a good person. That's who you are. Wow. He's not in Shaila anymore. I'm not talking intellectually now. I'm talking viscerally. A Yid once told me, he's had a lot of psychological challenges, an El Tid Yid. So he told me once, it's interesting, he told me the one that he was once by the Rebbe in the 1950s as a Bacher. So he started to say about his problems. So the Rebbe says, Das hast du genommen von deinen Taten, so hat nicht so tam mit dir. This is your father, it doesn't have to do with you. The Rebbe knew his father very well. Interesting what he told him. Why you say that to a boy? Because it's important to understand. You're carrying something, let it go. Let it go. Right? It could be your mother, it could be your father, it could be, I don't know, it could be an El Delta Zed, it could be somebody else. But the point is, you have to let it go. It's very easy, it's very easy. It looks like you have a perfect life, so let me borrow your name, borrow your bank account if I could, borrow your family, borrow. But the main thing is, I'm in the Sha'ol, I'm in the Abyss. And the reason is, whenever you borrow somebody else's life, by definition you're in Sha'ol. Why? Because it means I'm not in my life, I'm just in a Sha'ol. And then it gets lower and lower and lower, but the point is, I'm borrowing somebody else's clip or somebody else's Ra. So in that space, a person finds themselves in Sha'ol, whatever that means physically, material, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. So what's my relationship at this moment? So the last thing that should happen is, you should say, it's over. I'm done. You know, at this point, God really hates me. Life is over. But there's so much pain. So Yonah says, Mi bet in Sha'ol, shivati. Now the avoda is find the Eirin Soif Lamata Adin Tachlis in the Sha'ol. What does it mean to find it in the Sha'ol? To know that in this place, the only reason ultimately I was allowed to end up here is in order to come out in a much more powerful way. To pick up the Sha'ol by discovering the Eirin Soif in this place, Lamata Adin Tachlis. Even though it's concealed and condensed and I made wrong decisions and that's why I'm in the Sha'ol. But it's never a moment where the Eirin Sof says, Atka. There's no such a thing. Everybody's Teufus, the Inyan. So that's why, V'yerdu Chayim Sha'ola. They were in Sha'ol, but they were Chayim. Moirid Sha'ol, Vayal. Because Moirid Sha'ol, therefore the Vayal is a much bigger aliyah, because if not, you wouldn't take him to the Sha'ol. Why take a neshama to the Sha'ol? You never take a neshama to the Sha'ol unless it's for Vayal. If it's not for an aliyah, we don't do that. We're not here ever to punish for the sake of punishment. Never. There's no such a thing.
Borrowing money is probably one of the examples of
the end. Eved loiva le'ish malva. So you have Sha'ol in the next world, right? Because in the next world, the neshama has to go through whatever it goes through. But Gehenna is not a concept people think you're going to get destroyed. I'm going to torture you. Chas v'shalom. It's a process of letting the neshama free up. It's the filth that attached itself to it, and it's intrinsic. It's necessary. Why? All for the tainug of the neshama. It would be horrible if you just tell the neshama, you know what? You stay filthy forever, stay stuck forever. It's like a bird, an eagle that's destined to soar to the heavens, and you put it in the abyss, and you clip its wings, and you say, this is where you stay forever. That's what it would look like without sha'oil. Sha'oil is the process in which you can get rid of the mud from the wings, and you could soar. It would be so much more cruel and painful to tell the person, no, no, no. You stay dirty and filthy forever. The Gemara has a lashon in Rosh Hashanah. Gehenim kala v'heim einam kalin. On certain Rishayim. The Gehenim will end, they won't end. So literally it means what? They're so bad that the Gehenim fires will burn out and still they're around. Now they need so much. You remember we learned that Gehenim kala, they're so bad that all the Gehenim is going to finish already. It's like the Gehenim already closed down, but they still need more. I think that Yud Zayin or Yud Ches. The sugya of Gehenim over there. Gehenim coming on. I think the Tzaddik HaKayim Lublin writes, I saw it once in one of the Chassidish Asfanim. He says, Punkt Farket, what it's saying is, Gehenim kala v'heimeinim kalin. The Gehenim ultimately is going to finish. That's not the Tachlis. V'heimeinim kalin. They're never going to finish because the Tachlis is ultimately to heal them. So Gehenim kala, the Gehenim you're going to get through. V'heim einam kalin. They're not going to end with this. They're not going to get destroyed. The Gehenim is destined to be destroyed because it's just there to help them. V'heim einam kalin. That's how he teaches it.
Gehenim should have called not Gehenim. Should be called liberation camp.
Gehenim, huh?
Should be called liberation camp. So that's going to be liberated.
The Nakuda is that it's a person needs to understand what the Vart is. The name is not so Negeya. The Negeya is the Teichen Vavana.
The name is the essence.
Huh?
The name is the essence. Something about the Shoyl.
There's never a Nakuda in a person's life that Eirin Soif is not there. I made a million mistakes and I'm in the dumps. Physically, spiritually, whatever it is, I'm mamish in the dumps. The Eidin Seif is present. And the Eidin Seif is in the darkness. So Vatziya Sha'oil is Hineka. But I need to be able to open myself up to that truth. I need to be able to open myself up to that reality. And when I open myself up to that reality, I could say, Hineka. Oh, Dabisto. Okay, Bezash, I want to finish the Maimer before the end of the week, so we'll have a shiur Wednesday morning also. Same time. Tomorrow's a shiur for women at 9:30 here. You could tell your wives and daughters, but Wednesday morning, Belina, at 8 o'clock, we'll have a shiur here. Everybody have a beautiful and wonderful day. Tzlach Rabbah. Let's try to stay out of the sha'oil as much as possible.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.